is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
We're talking about how your marriage could go from barely alive to beginning to thrive. And some of it has to do with understanding the design of marriage and expectations that we bring that do not match God's expectations. Some of them do, but some of them do not match at all. And certainly one thing that seems to be missing is the thought, oh, God gave me this marriage so that I could grow. Until you understand you're not all you should be, you'll not be interested in growing to become more like Christ. So Vicky's joined us again today. What was some of your confusion or thoughts, or what did God expose that you thought, maybe this wasn't right? What were some of the unmet expectations that led you to see, I got to grow, I got to get past this?
I think another thing, I didn't purposely start out to think this, but as it was exposed and things weren't going my way of what I thought would make me happy, then I became more aware of that. So I think without realizing it, I was looking to you to be my happiness. And I think that was drowning you. I think you sensed she's looking to me to make all this right and to be her happiness. And I think the more I wasn't happy, the more I leaned into you thinking, if I could just get him to come home earlier and we could go for a walk and we could talk on the couch, then I would be happy. And he's got to do this, because if he doesn't do this, I'm not going to have a good marriage. And this is what I've wanted my whole life, a great marriage. And so that was very eye-opening to me.
And if you can imagine, it was super disorienting to me, because in our earlier shows, I already brought out how one of the things most attractive to me about you was that you weren't like that. I was like, wow, this woman is squared away. And I can tell she's interested in getting to know me, but she's not desperate at all. And it just seemed desperate all of a sudden. I just like, oh my word, this person's just like, oh. And I was like, what happened to the Vicky that I knew before?
And I think also, you know, you were working a full-time job. Obviously, I was working part-time, but I was new to the area as far as I'd had college friends, but that was all over. We're now in a church.
Chopped up from South Georgia,
right.
Moved.
So I didn't know people.
10 hours away.
And we were on staff, which I think that has its own challenges as a young marriage. You know, we were in our, 23, 24.
So all those relationships,
right.
Lifelong that you'd had,
yes.
Gone.
And all the other staff wives are like 35, 36. They were married and had, you know, kids. So I couldn't really relate to that. So I think I was very lonely. But once again, in God's sovereignty, that was good for me. Because then maybe perhaps before I depended upon relationships or other friends, that wasn't happening. And now this husband that I've married that I thought this would be wonderful, that's not happening. So I think it actually forced me to think, okay, I've got to find my happiness and my joy. It can't be based on how well Brad and I are doing or how many friends I have. I've got to find that in Christ alone. And now I didn't just come there on my own. We went to marriage counseling and that helped me tremendously. I don't think I was even aware I was putting all my eggs in the Brad Digney basket.
And probably like never before, you yourself were probably surprised by you.
Yes.
And not enjoying this version of you, because you'd probably never felt this out of sorts.
Right.
And like, I'm not getting what I need. And relationally, we've already
said. Yeah, good point.
You were huge on friendship and holding on to, and you had a huge network of friendships and relationships. And so that is worth noting.
First in my hometown, then in college for, you know,
so the hometown
years.
Is gone. Everyone I knew who was changing my diapers at Sunday school, and then they're my teachers, and they're my
right.
mentors, and they're,
right.
It's all gone. And I'm in this brand new city with this brand new man who's my mm-hmm. brand new husband, and he doesn't seem to be interested in getting to know me at all. And it's true that I didn't know how to move in a new direction. So it's understandable that you just thought, I'm just going to have to keep reaching out to him and keep asking for this. Otherwise, what's going to put us on a different path? There was a part of an expectation that was not wrong, that we will relate to each other. We will just talk and get to know each other, and he'll want to draw me out and get to know his new wife. And I think that's good for people to think through. Just like I love to say, every strength has an Achilles heel. There are so many things that are not wrong to want them. In its very essence, it's right, but it's how much are you wanting it, and how much are you trying to make that your soul? And so the dark side or the sinful side that maybe God showed you was that I can't just look to Brad.
Absolutely.
Brad
not.
Cannot fully meet my, like even today, 38 years into it, and we love each other and we're best friends. Am I your sole source of satisfaction? Is this great because I've done such a good job of stepping up and meeting all your needs? Or is this a great marriage now because there's some other things that have happened in your heart and mind and life regarding happiness and holiness?
Yeah, I think too, just Jesus truly is my best friend. And Brad and I have had this conversation. I mean, you do at this stage, like, hey, if you die, you know, we talk about if one of us dies for the other. But I really do think Jesus is truly my constant companion. And I just talk to him all day long. So I think going to him and running to him, whether it's with young kids, whether it's with rebellious teenagers, whether it's with a hard marriage,
mm-hmm.
he truly has become, it's not just a, he's not just God, he's a relationship with him
yeah.
that I talk to. So
yeah.
I think that's a huge change,
yeah.
a huge shift.
So to use terms that we absolutely associate with marriage, intimacy
mm-hmm.
and relationship and camaraderie.
Right.
It might be good for our listeners to ask themselves, do those words in any way characterize your relationship with God? Because they should.
Yeah, they
right?
really should. Because I think also there's things that I go through as a mom or as a pastor's wife that I know I can try to explain to Brad how I feel about that or how that's affecting me.
Yeah.
And he's very kind. He'll listen. But sometimes I still know he doesn't get it or, you know, he's not here. He's teaching somewhere in another state. And it's like, okay, Jesus, you are here with me in this and you sovereignly allowed it and you love me and you are going to help me through this. So I think that's very comforting to me that he understands exactly what I'm going through. I don't have to try to explain. And then when she said that at church, that made me feel this way. He understands all that. Whereas it's a little harder to explain to a person like you or a husband or a friend even.
In essence, neither one of us have the kind of marriage we have because now each of our spouses, each one of us has gotten so much better
at
anticipating and knowing. We have grown.
Absolutely.
We certainly have.
We both changed
radically. I think I've learned you and know you far better and learned from you. You've learned me and know me far better. But what I would want our listener to hear is, and each of us, I believe today, 38 years into our marriage, my relationship with the Lord is sweeter, tighter, and more intimate than when we first got married. Would you say the same is true about you?
Definitely, yeah.
And so it's those two things. It's yes, getting to know each other. Yes, learning what God says about marriage. Yes, dying to self and serving someone else better. But also, marriage can never take the place of your relationship with the Lord.
And I do think, like we kind of mentioned earlier, as far as holiness and happiness, as we've gone through trials and we've gone through health issues, that has the potential. It doesn't always happen automatically, but it has the potential to draw you closer to Christ than anything else. And like it or not, we just grow more through adversity. And I think in the process, when you know you're walking in step with His Holy Spirit and you're allowing Him to use what He's bringing to your life, even if it's hard, you do become happy or joyful because you know He's in this with me and this is filtered through our Father's hands.
Yeah.
So that joy does come. It's not always happiness. But I mean, to be honest, I can honestly say I am happy we had marriage struggles. I know that's just bizarre, but it changed me. I mean, and you know, as we go on, we'll hear more, but I'm a different person now. And so I'm really thankful. I mean, for any number of reasons that we would not be sitting here because no one would want to hear us about marriage, you know.
Well, let me poke somewhere else related to expectations and shattered dreams is how do you think, Vicki, that the culture plays into leading us to expect the wrong things and clinging to the wrong things, in a sense, lies to us. And even sometimes the Christian cult, you know, the Christian camp grabs onto it, like with terms like soulmate. I'm looking for my soulmate. I'm in search of. How do you think some of that, and especially as it might relate to women as they're thinking about marriage, how do you think that sets us up for some disappointment?
Mm-hmm. Biblically, I think there's any number of people you can marry, and it's going to take hard work. But I think the idea of there's only one person out there for me that I could ever be married to that's just going to really be my mm-hmm. soulmate. That's the one. That's
Do you think
daunting.
That's a biblical concept?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
it's not.
You're just going to get hung up if you're mm-hmm. if you're single and listening.
Because it all
thinking,
depends on you.
I've got to find
right.
my soulmate. There's this one needle in a haystack. There's this mm-hmm. person that God created. One of the worst things you could do yourself is just live your life thinking, one day I'm going to stand before God and he's going to show me the movie of my mm-hmm. life and what it could have been
right.
or should
if
have been.
If I chose better.
If
and that's
I
paralyzing.
Had found that mm-hmm. one soul mate. So to reach back and grab that word work again, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter who you marry, it's going to take work.
Right.
So put in the work on the relationship you have rather than revisiting, oh my goodness, if only I'd found my soulmate, this shouldn't be that hard. Whoever you marry is going to be a sinner, and it can be a shock, and it's going to be work, but worth, work, worth doing. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that touches on and helps us with some of the biggest pushback and struggles we have in our heart and head regarding, wait a minute, I shouldn't feel this shattered. Wait a minute, it shouldn't be this hard.
And we'll be back with more from Thrive and Pastor Brad Bigney and his wife Vicki in just a moment. And their conversation today about expectations and finding true joy, that reminds me of a resource we have available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. It's a book that I believe should be recommended reading for every single Christian. Whether you're dealing with unmet expectations, communications challenges, or you're just wanting to strengthen your marriage, Sandy's biblical wisdom in The Peacemaker, it's going to help you move from surface level fixes to deep, lasting transformation. Pick up The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy, available now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of transformation, and while you're at fortisinstitute.org, check out the Fortis Plus app. You'll be able to link to it from there. It's also available at fortisplus.org as well. Completely free of charge, gives you instant access to all of the content, hundreds of hours of content, video and audio content loaded in the Fortis Plus app right now. Again, it's at fortisplus.org, or you can download the mobile app free of charge to your mobile device. Just go to your app store, whichever device you have, and search for Fortis Plus. You're going to find it encouraging. You're going to find biblical content at your fingertips whenever you need it. And you know, as we've been listening today to Brad and Vicki talk openly about their journey and their marriage, I'm struck by how many couples need to hear this message. It's exactly why we're asking you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner here at Fortis Institute. Your partnership, it does more than just keep the lights on around here. But also your partnership helps us to reach more couples who are struggling right where Brad and Vicki were, feeling alone, disappointed, and unsure of how to move forward. Look, when you partner with us, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're helping marriages move from crisis to Christ-centered. And here's something else important that I want to note. We always encourage you to prioritize giving to your local church first. So if you're strapped by some kind of unmanaged debt, take care of that obligation first. Don't be a slave to the lender. And once you do, and you get your giving to your local church where you want it and need it to be, then start praying about and considering partnership with us. Because if you're able to give beyond your local church giving, we want you to pray about becoming a gospel partner. Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now to learn more about what it would look like in your life to do just that. Now, let's get back to Pastor Brad and Vicki as they continue to discuss happiness and holiness and discuss how those both work in marriage. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. And I'm your host, Pastor Brad Bigney, with my wife, Vicky, talking together about how marriage was designed to expose us so that we can grow, and how both happiness and holiness are at play. And you can have both. It's not an either or. It's not either I'm going to be happy and get what I want, or wow, I'm going to be miserable, but God's going to make me holy. I think that's a misnomer. And it's unfortunate how we do not associate the word happiness with holiness. But would you say we should, Vicky?
Yeah, definitely, because there's no greater thought in my mind than to know I am walking the road that God has called me to do. And I think in some ways, I mean, I love being single, but I'm really glad I'm married, because all those questions like, who should I marry and where should I live? I mean, pretty much that's set in concrete for me now. So to know that I'm following God's path for me, that brings me happiness and joy, knowing, once again, not easy, not all pain-free, but there's great purpose in that.
And maybe a helpful clarifying thought would be, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of holiness. If you just think of a stark person sitting quiet, take the word holiness and just put in place of it Jesus. So we were created in the image of God. He is the only perfect God-man. And the end game for us is that we are going to be like him. That's where we're headed, for new heaven and new earth. And so right now, God's design and goal for us is for us to become more like Jesus. You will never be more happy than you are living and being like Jesus. These two things actually go together.
Right.
Our sinful flesh pushes back and thinks, no way,
right,
no way. But when you read the scriptures, you realize he was a joyful, happy person. And as you choose to become more like Jesus and less like you, you don't lose happiness. You gain happiness, because you're beginning to thrive as a human being and be all you were created to be. But let me point you to a passage we have in God's Word. God's Word is so filled with good promises and places that can help us, particularly when it's hard. God knew it was going to get hard. And so in marriage, some of you listening may be thinking, I never thought I would be here. I never thought it would be like this. I would never have anticipated that this would be my marriage and my life. I am so stuck and I don't see a way out. Let me give you one verse in God's Word that I think is packed with promises. This is one verse that I think actually has four promises. And these promises combat what I think are four of the most common lies that our enemy Satan shouts at us. Listen to the verse. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it says, no temptation — that word temptation in the original Greek can be translated trial. Either way, trial, temptation. And the reason the word can be translated either way is, if you think about it, when you are in a trial and you are being pressed, you are tempted to do something wrong next. You're tempted to turn to a certain refuge or a place or a way through. So trial and temptation go together. There's no trial or temptation that is overtaking you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That is a fantastic verse that I think speaks to some of the marriage struggles that we had, are likely to keep having,
yes,
and some of our listeners have right now. Here's the first promise that I think you see from 1 Corinthians 10:13. Your trial is not unique. The lie that Satan loves to throw at all of us is, no one's ever gone through anything like this. The components of your situation are unique. That is such a lie, and human beings love to buy into it. Oh, that promise — no one doubts there's promises in God's Word, but we love to convince ourselves it doesn't apply to me because our situation is so unique. You got any thoughts on that, Vicky? The lie that, oh, but this is just different. This is so unique.
Well, a verse that comes to my mind is John 10:10, where the Bible says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I think that's one way he gets us off track, just thinking, wow, I understand other people have trials, but this is more than I can handle. This is so unique.
Yeah.
It's really common to man.
And I think that's why I touched in an earlier show, yes, get in a good church, but ask God to lead you to a good church where people are honest about their struggles. Before anyone even solves it for you, one of the most encouraging, helpful, hopeful things is to be in a context where you realize, oh, we're not the only ones. It's why Vicky does her women's discipleship group for young wives. And that comes out of having lived through it as a young wife and wishing she had someone to talk to.
Right.
And so every year as she gathers this group of 10 to 12 young ladies, it's because she wants them to know. And don't you sense that a little bit every year? Before you even say anything wise to help them, them being in a circle and hearing all the other young ladies talk and realize it's not just you.
Yes.
It's not just your husband doing that.
It's very comforting. And you realize you have community that you can also find help in.
It's never true that your situation is wow. Never happened before. But there's a second promise. There's no temptation that's overtaken you, no trial, marriage trial you're in that isn't common to man. God deals with this kind of stuff. It's happened before. But here's the second. And God is faithful. The lie that Satan loves to tell us is God's not there for you. He's just not there. And I think we buy into it because when you're in a trial for a while, and some of you listening might say, hey,
yeah,
I'm glad you and Vicky had a bad 3 years, but whew, I'm talking about a bad 15 years. I'm talking about a bad 30 years. You can start to lose heart and think, where is God?
Right. And I think this to me is huge because when you think God is not there for me, he could not really, your mind kind of wanders then to, he doesn't really care about me. And when you start thinking God doesn't really care about you, instead of running to him and finding comfort and finding hope, you kind of run away from him because you think he's not happy with me. He obviously hasn't answered what I think is a good prayer to save my marriage. So I think that's a very daunting place to be. And Satan loves it because he knows if I can make them think God's not there for him, he's not a good God, you're not going to run to
him. And so in a real sense, even what you're talking about, that danger of saying he's not a good God, you do not just face wrong expectations in marriage. In marriage, you quickly find out, do I have wrong thoughts about God?
Yes, that's so important.
If you grew up in a church where you were taught, oh, God only wants to bless you, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, then you're going to think, what kind of good God would allow me to have a marriage that isn't what I had hoped for, that would allow me to feel this lonely, this disappointed? But when you read the scriptures, he is good, but he will allow us to go into really hard things to grow us, to become more like Christ, and to know him in ways we didn't before. So can he be faithful in the midst of a desert time, a dark time? Can those two things be true, Vic?
Definitely. I mean,
yeah.
I think.
Was he faithful to us, even
yes.
though we landed in chaos and confusion in our trail?
Not only is he faithful, I would say he becomes more real to you.
Yeah.
Because once again, I said it earlier, like it or not, we're so self-sufficient and prideful, at least I am.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just go through my day, I don't call on him to him about anything. But when you're in a trial, like that morning when I woke up and thought, I've mm-hmm. got to have a word from the Lord from my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you become desperate for him and you get to know him. And it's usually, sadly enough, we turn to him more when
yeah.
we are hurting,
yeah.
when we're sad, when we're crying in the shower. That's when we turn to him more.
Wish it was different, but we typically
rainbows.
Don't
yeah.
grow until it's hard.
Right.
And he's good enough that he allows us to go through hard times to grow. So he's faithful is the promise, and the lie is not there for you. There's a third promise. It's not more than you can handle. He will not allow us. Now, that's more than you can handle with his spirit, with his word, with his people around you, because the lie is this is just too much.
Right. In fact, I remember I've shared this before with other women. I knew our marriage was in bad shape when in our trailer, my 3-year-old was running around saying, I can't handle this. I can't handle
yep.
this. Well, she had gotten that from me because then I guess
yeah.
I was saying that out loud. I just can't handle
oh,
this. I can't
I
handle
know.
This. That was eye-opening for me and very convicting, thinking, wow,
so
Lauren
she's
heard has heard
you
me
say
this,
this so many times.
Right.
I can't handle this.
Here she is as a 3-year-old saying, I can't handle this.
Yeah. But there's one final promise that combats a very common lie. It says, he will, with the trial, provide a way of escape. And he's not talking about escape your marriage, but to get through this and to grow through this, there is a way out. God has a way out. Now, you may need help seeing that way out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Vicky and I would ever have sorted this out on our
no,
own.
No, there is no way
so
out. I don't think.
There is a very real place for inviting. It doesn't even have to be professional, official counseling that you pay mm-hmm. money for, but inviting someone from outside of your situation, your marriage, to speak into it mm-hmm. and to join you.
And I think even if your husband won't do that with you,
yeah.
then you go to another woman who you see and you think, wow, she seems to know Jesus, yeah, to love him. I want to talk to her and say, hey, how should I handle, yeah, this? I think that, once again, the beauty of being in a local, right, church community, it's just like, it's crucial to your growth, crucial to you staying on the right path, crucial to be you being around people,
yeah,
that are for your marriage.
He's given us his word, his spirit, and the body of Christ. We're talking about what it would take for your marriage to thrive. And it's often painful getting there, but oh, so worth it. We want you to hear that there is hope for every single one of you. God has what you need to see your way through this to a different place. But you'll have to be willing to admit first, I need to grow. He wants to work on me. He wants to make me more like Christ.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.